Thank you very much, Madam Moderator, and thanks to Ganhri for inviting me to this event. I am really very privileged to have been one of the CEDAW members who have had the chance for the past 6 years to interact with National Human Rights Institution, and just recently with the UK, for instance, where the three NHRI were present and where we had received a lot of input. Before that, in several other sessions, Australia, New Zealand, Palestine. I mean, the people who spoke just when I joined this morning, I was relating to what you're saying very much so. I think personally that we have made in CEDAW a lot of reflection on the fact that we need to cooperate more closely with NHRI and have NHRI understand that even if CEDAW is a convention that was created before NHRI were established and it was relying essentially on national machinery to implement the convention and to promote women's rights, the opportunity with the NHRI mandate and especially the Paris Principle, NHRI with status A, that can really make a huge difference for all citizens, and women are only citizens. And sometimes we tend to forget. So since we don't accept that we are dealing with a specialized group, because women are not a specialized group, they are the citizen, they are more than half of the citizen of all this world. So finally, I feel that NHRI covering their concern is just the normal part of functioning. Of course, I have raised already the issue that when you have NHRI and you have separate entity dealing with gender equality, they may lead to some sense of negative competition. We have to turn this into a positive complementarity. And NHRI should be there for those gender equality and should be able to promote their work and enhance it and strengthen it, because there is so much historic discrimination that there may still be need for a specific gender equality group to bring things up to speed after centuries of discrimination. But it doesn't mean that NHRI should not feel concerned or should feel, but somebody else is taking care of it, then I can take off some. It is a mainstreaming of gender, has to be all the way, everywhere, in all topics. And earlier, I think the moderator spoke about the gender perspective. This is what we need to look for, all of us, when we work on all topics. Let me say now, coming to the theme of the knowledge and the exchange of knowledge, how important it is for us to see that the NHRI are engaged in the reporting process from day one, and I would say before day one. You know that we are all proposing simplified reporting procedure to state parties, and this means without report submitted. So how do we build, how do we produce meaningful list of issues prior to reporting if we don't have the input of the NHRI? We will rely on CSO shadow reporting. It's important, it will continue to be important, but we need you because we consider that you are the best placed broker between all those who are struggling to advance the agenda of human rights in your country. So input to the list of issues prior to reporting is key, as was input to the list of issues to the classical reporting. But also, we know that in the reporting process, a lot can happen. And again, I refer to this UK example, but also to previous example of Australia, New Zealand, and Palestine to one or two sessions ago, that the presence of the NHRI, if it can't be physical, because we know it's a lot of money, it can be perceived through video conferencing, but it has to be part of your priority also to feel engaged with us. We're working on changing the rule of engagement, and this is my capacity as chair of the working group. We have the issue of following up on the concluding observation, implementation, follow-up. There are so many ways in which the exchange of information will strengthen our partnership, and I would like to call it partnership, to make things happen. And we heard also earlier from the Irish NHRI about Northern Ireland NHRI about the inquiry and the importance of the involvement of NHRI with inquiry. We have a very good public example, that's Canada, and a very good other example that is public, that is the UK on abortion that was alluded to. We can multiply those if we work also better together on these areas of the optional protocol. And last but not least, Madam Chair, if I'm allowed, let's not forget that Article 3 of the Convention talks that state party should take all measures in all fields. So this is where we see the NHRI coming under Article 3, because this is about enabling the implementation of the convention. I want to refer to two statements I heard this morning that were not part of the discussion, but that I would encourage you wholeheartedly to do. It's pursuing the issue with CSW. This is crucially important, because even us, who are at the basis, the most important committee for CSW, since we moved from New York, we're not interacting enough. We're losing touch. And we know that it is about development and human rights. These are the pillars. So if you as an HRI can come as players also to CSW, it will re-strengthen our ability to influence the intergovernmental process. And the last point that was made by the colleague from Palestine is very dear to our heart. It's women, peace, and security. Again, there is a lot more to be done. We are doing our part, but as you know, it's only three sessions per year. So the multiplier effect can happen through your work. And the committee can just, you know, share with you where it stands in different contexts and how we're working with, in particular also with the special representative of the Secretary General on sexual violence in conflict, but in more general terms on all the Security Council resolution pertaining to women, peace and security. I think I took a lot of time. I didn't clock myself, so I'll stop here. And I will take any question, even in writing through Ganhri, because I may have to leave you. We are in session, and I left the session, and we're adopting concluding observations. So thank you.